Blog Talk Radio.
CBR.
I'd like to welcome everybody CBR. To CBR.
It's CBR.
That's championship CBR. Battle rap for those who don't know.
CBR.
Shout out to PL12 CBR. For the track.
It's CBR.
It's Real Talk Radio. Championship Battle Rap.
CBR's the show. Interviews is the format.
Live battles on deck.
You gotta earn your respect.
So you strive for the best.
Your skills get put to the test.
We got top-notch talent. Chopping it up with us.
It's the tracks played live on the air for air listeners.
Don't nobody give you live exclusives like CBR.
This show is too remarkable. Hip-hop is where it starts.
Trying to raise the bar. We on the mission like Tom Cruise. MC's fighting for the title and plus he got Mark News.
Get the latest trending topic in the world of hip-hop. This is Real CBR. Other clones, y'all need to stop.
Now introducing the undisputed hip-hop battle rap talk radio champions of the world, CBR!
Alright, there we go. What's going on? What's going on? Welcome to CBR, that's Championship Battle Rap. It's your boy, Tay Real. Nizzy Nay, where you at?
What up?
Yeah, man. What's popping, Nizzy? Long day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I know what you mean, man. I had a crazy long day, too. Matter of fact, my whole week, my whole month, my whole life just been crazy lately. Like, it just, I just trying to juggle a lot, you know, in a little bit, like a little bit of time, trying to juggle a whole lot. You know, I got a lot of responsibilities, a lot of things I got to make happen. And it's, hey, I mean, it's just one of them things, man, you know, but I ain't even going to complain about it because, you know, I'd rather have something to look forward to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, figuring out how to make things happen and piecing the puzzle together is all a part of you know, adulthood and just handling BI. You get frustrated sometimes, but, you know, got the strong survive and weak parts, you already know, you know. And with that said, man, you know, we here. Finally, we here and we ready to get this show popping, man. It's been a long road to get the show done. You know what I mean? It's just been all types of crazy stuff going on, man. We got a special guest tonight, you know, and we're gonna be bringing him on in just a second. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like, my computer is fried. Like, I can't even do nothing. Like Nizzy, I already told you, like, you gotta handle the switchboard tonight, man. My computer is screwed, man. Like, my computer is so screwed right now, and that's just another setback. You know, like, I can't even freaking hardly click nothing, man. Man, this is crazy, man. Like, I mean, I'm the type of person that's like, I'm a real computer head. You know what I mean? And when my computer is not working, I literally can't really get nothing done. Because, like, everything, this show, other stuff I'm involved in, is, like, it's all based on my computer working for me. You know what I mean? And this is crazy, you know. It's frustrating, man. But, yeah, man, we got the homie Riggs in the building. We about to go ahead and bring him on. Let's go ahead and get him in.
I'm so used to you just clicking it, and I'm not used to engineering, so I'm just like.
Yeah, you about to be a full time engineer, man. About to have to up your salary, man. It's crazy, man. Like, my computer, like, yo, when I tell you my laptop is screwed. Like, it's screwed, man. I got to take it to a shop or something, man. But, man, that shop don't feed the kids. You know what I mean? Yo, Riggs, what's popping, fam?
What's good, man? What's good, Tay, man? What's good, man?
Oh man, we just kicking the actual factual. You know what I mean? You know you're an old head when you say the actual factual. You know you ain't
right.
You know you gotta you gotta be an '80s baby or better for that.
Exactly. Two people don't follow that. Too many people don't follow that type of talk though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I got their own different slang out here today, so you gotta really catch up.
Right. You know what's crazy? Like I don't even be like. I don't hang out no more. I'm just like a full-time family guy now. So, like, I don't be knowing the new stuff. I don't be knowing the new slangs. The only reason why I know the songs that's on the radio is because when I'm driving. Because when I'm home, I don't listen to the radio. I listen to, like, local people. I listen to people, like, people I know, people I'm cool with, my own music, your stuff. Like, I listen to that type of stuff. I don't even listen to, like, I only know that stuff because when I'm driving, like I just be in my own little world, man. I don't be knowing nothing, man. If somebody trying to ask, look, somebody, one of these young dudes might be trying to ask me if I'm trying to buy some weed. I probably won't even know what they talking about because of the terms they use, and I ain't even hip because I ain't out in the hood no more. Like I hung that jersey up. I just be chilling now. You know what I mean? So it's like,
it's
crazy.
Hey, it's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong being a family man these days, man. You know, a lot of guys ain't doing that. They ain't trying to settle down, have a family. They was still being in the streets in they late 30s, 40s. You know what I'm saying? Doing the same thing they was doing 20 years ago. You know, they ain't trying to grow up out here in these streets no more. So shit.
Exactly.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
How long did it take you to go through that transition, like where you was like, I'm gonna just kick back now, I'm gonna do this music, I ain't worried about hanging out or nothing right now, I'm just trying to focus on me doing positive stuff and staying out of all the BS.
Well, to be honest, it took a minute, you know. I've been rapping since I was back maybe 16, 17, when I was going to high school or whatever, you know. It just started hitting me, you know, really in my late 20s, you know what I'm saying? Like, take it seriously, you know. People always told me I had the effort or the gift of rap, and I never really took that seriously back then because I never really messed with a lot of people who was doing music. I was always a listener, a fan of music, fan of hip-hop, and... You know, one of my guys, you know, one of my close homies, you know, my day one homies tell me, like, you know, just push towards it, man. You know, you can do it, man. We believe in you and stuff like that. So, you know, it was giving me the big head. So I just end up, you know, start writing more and start recording more. And I started doing mixtapes or whatever. You know, I was getting a lot of feedback from, like, you know, the tapes or when I was putting out or whatever, especially the recent one I put out last year. And, you know, I'm trying to make more of a buzz with that right now. You know, that's why I'm talking to you or whatever. And I understand you captured the sound of my music, you know, recently and was telling me about it. And I was like, wow, that's crazy because I never thought somebody would really reach out like you did to even have this interview with me about my music. And that's real, man. I respect that.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. It's like, this is what we do, man. Like, we all about the up-and-comers. You know, the people that's hungry, because, you know, the people that made it already, a lot of people that made it, it's like they kind of, not everybody's Hollywood, but a lot of them just like, you know, they just, their standards and everything, their views and everything is different. Like, you can't even reach out. Like, I'm like this. If I can't talk to you, I got to talk to your manager. I'm not even interested. I need to be able to, like, relate. I need to be able to talk to you and, you know what I mean, actually know that, like, all right, this dude is talented, but he's also a cool dude, so I'm cool with him coming on the show. When I be having to talk to people's managers and all that stuff, that's that high horse Hollywood stuff. I can't. I mean, the game is the game. That's the way it go. When you get a big enough name, that's what it is. That's what it is. But I don't know, man. I can't really rock with it, man. I'm gonna tell you real quick, man. Like, I actually. Because, you know, we do this music show, but then we got another show that we do where we just talk about a little bit of everything, stuff that's going on in general. And I actually had spoke to a known retired porn star the other day. Mm-hmm. And she put her number online for people to, like, you know, just for people to be able to contact her for business. And she's retired, and I ain't know it. I think I might have heard it, but I ain't know for sure. But I'm like, I'm going to just give it a gamble. I'm, you know, I was trying to get a porn star on the show, so, you know, just get, shed some light on it, give the perspective from a person that's in that situation, you know. It's not like
right.
all of us just know some porn star. You know, you might know a little hood rat, a little thot or something, but you don't necessarily,
right.
not many of us know a porn star, you know what I mean? So it's like, let her tell it from her side. That was the whole approach. I called her, she really answered, and I'm chopping it up with, and I'm like, damn, I never expected a porn star to be like going some,
so down
like
to
she was Hollywood.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I'm like, the same woman that I watch having dicks in her mouth and two, three dicks in her pussy at the same time, riding one nigga, sucking one nigga, and jerking another nigga. And I'm like, wow. Like, I couldn't believe it. She was like, oh, yeah, I'm retired. I don't do that no more. I'm like, oh, all right, well, she's like, I'm like, would you be interested in coming on the show? No. She's like, no, like that. Like, really? I'm serious. She's like, no.
Yeah.
Like,
wild,
why?
Man.
I'm like, can I ask you why? She's like, yeah, because I don't do that no more. So it's not beneficial unless you pay me. I'm like, well, the payment is the publicity. Like, you know, you don't pay somebody to interview them. You're giving them
right.
the publicity, you know, by interviewing them. She's like, well, I don't do that no more. So you got to pay
mm-hmm.
me. I'm like, wow. I'm like, well, can I ask you from a fan perspective? I ain't gonna lie, she's fat as hell. I didn't watch her plenty of times, you know what I mean?
I'm
and
quite
I'm
sure
like,
I do too.
Well, can I ask you? I'm like, can I ask you from a fan perspective? Why'd you decide to retire? She's like, if I did that, I would be like giving you an interview. So no, I'm like, are you fucking kidding
me? That's bogus. That's bogus, man.
I couldn't believe it.
That's the thing, man.
I couldn't believe it.
That's the thing.
Crazy, like, you know, people be on their high horses, man. I can't, like, that's why I see people like you. I can reach out to you directly, and we can chop it up, have a phone conversation, everything. Like, this is what it's popping, this is what it's like, this is what it's going to be. All right, cool, I want to do that. Cool, I'm with that. All right, bam, let's get it. And that makes the show exciting. Like, I don't care about, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's cool to have, like, big name people on the show and stuff, but I don't care about that. I'm just passionate about the talent and just helping people. That I, you know, man, I would want that same help, just being able to lend that helping hand to help give exposure to people that deserve it. You know what I mean? I'm not trying
to have to
go through different chambers and speak to somebody's manager and all that. I want to be able to talk to you directly, and that's why we do the show the way we do it. You feel me?
That's real, man. I definitely respect that. You know, you reached out to me last week. You was trying to get me popping on the show last week, and then when I just knew for sure you was really real about what you was talking about when you was talking about, you know, on social media. So, you know, at the end of the day, salute to you, man. Salute to the whole movement, Championship Battle Rap, you know what I'm saying, and the whole nine. You know, I'm with it, you know. You see I'm all in right now, you know.
Yeah,
so,
that's crazy because, you know, we it was, you know, it was an interesting road to get to finally get here to get this done because, hold on, what happened first? I don't even, it's like three or four different things, different events happened. What happened last
right.
week?
Last week, it was something about I know you sent me the link or whatever, and it was something about it was something with the lines going on.
The technical difficulties on the show.
Yeah,
that was the original thing. You was on the line waiting
right.
and everything. That was the first thing. And then
yeah.
he was like, all right, the next thing. He was like, oh, I gotta work. It can't be that day.
Oh yeah, right. How to go to work that day. So then the other day I think it was something you was tired of, so I don't know what happened, but anywhere it goes, look, we here tonight, you know, stopping on today, and, you know, it's a Tuesday night, so we here, man, what's up? You know
we here, man, we getting an apartment, man.
Yo,
Nizzy, sleep over there. Nizzy had to work late, so don't be surprised if Nizzy falls asleep on us.
Oh, she got to wake up. She got to wake up, man. This the show. She got to get up. Look, I'm calling in from Detroit, Michigan, you understand what I'm saying? I'm just the guy...
Oh, that's your favorite city, Nizzy.
Show me some,
that's where Nizzy's from, Detroit.
Just show me some love, baby. Show me some love. You know what I'm saying? How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good.
What's up, man? I got to wake you up, man. You all in the back of the cut, just laying up, like you say, just sitting there. You got to wake up, man.
Hey, Rick, got her vibrator on deck. I mean, they can't wait for the show to go over.
Oh,
to go off
man.
To get that vibrator.
Uh-huh.
She knows she
got the Hennessy and everything. That's okay.
about to have a,
that's okay,
a passionate romantic night to ourselves.
Morning. Thank you very much.
Oh, you said you had that this morning? Okay. All right.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
round two tonight?
Right. All these leftovers. I mean, what's going on?
And you know what? I never got to actually say your full name. You know what? I'm going to let you say it. So let the people know, because you know I'm calling you Riggs for sure, but let the people know your actual pen name.
I mean, I grew up, you know, high school, everybody called me D. Riggs. My name is Daryl Riggs. I ain't scared to say my government name on the mic. You know what I'm saying? That's my name. At the end of the day, you know, I was going to high school. A lot of my high school buddies called me D. Riggs for short. You know, so, you know, D. Riggs took me, you know, all through high school. And now when I start rapping, everybody start just drop the D and start calling me Riggs. So it's been Riggs all the way through. And then when I started really taking it seriously, I just started calling myself Riggs the Crisis. I felt like I was a problem, and I'm still a problem that people can't really sit down with his stomach too, because like I feel like I'm a real problem to hip hop, and you know, not a bad way, but just verbally speaking, you know, verbally on the mic, I'm a problem. So, you know, Raise the Crisis, and that's how that came about.
No doubt, man. And for the people that take everything in hip hop literal, every line, every metaphor, if you're a person that always take things literally, then hip hop ain't for you. Because one of the most intriguing things about hip-hop is the way the twist, the play on words, the metaphors. So, you know, as some the hip-hop critics are like, oh, they always talking about this and that. Sometimes things ain't always as they seem, but that's right. The craft. Like, you know, it's a lot of thought behind this stuff. So sometimes it ain't always negative. You might take it as
true
negative,
story.
And it's really not,
true
but
story.
You got to take the time to listen to the message. You know what I mean?
Right, and then like a lot, like today, music, today hip hop, you just probably hear the name, be like, oh man, he sound whack as hell. You know, this no nigga name, Chance the Rapper, or no disrespect to none of these guys, but you know, and I'm like, you know, it's a lot of rappers out here. You know, what's the other guy? The Flick of the Wrist dude. What's his name? I forgot the dude's name, but he sang the Flick of the Wrist song. But it's a lot of rappers that I listen to. I'm like, okay, man, I've been trying to really give them a chance or whatever, and really tune into a lot of music because, you know, like I told you before, off the mic, I'm not biased towards the music. You know what I'm saying? I'm just biased towards what I'm listening to. The music is everything, but what you're listening to is not everything, you know, because people can give different messages and sing different directions, and that's why a lot of people doing what they're doing out here is a lot of trends going on. And a lot of stuff getting set up where people was designed to be a certain way. They're scared to be themselves these days. You know what I'm saying? Through music, through TV, and through whatever else they believe in. You know, whatever they glorifying, what they going through in these streets, you know, away from their parents and away from what they grew up on. You know what I'm saying? They real values in life. So a lot of music can take you away from you. A lot of music can gain from you. You can gain a lot from music too as well. You know, so. You can choose your side at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Me personally, I rap about reality, you know what I'm saying? Like, listen to any of my music, any of my mixtape music, I'm not spitting about, you know, guns and violence and drugs and bitches and bottles and whatever else you want to hear that's typical and relevant these days in the streets, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a real lyrical dude, you know, I could put that street stuff in there, but it'd be a lyrical and a more, you know, respective way of saying it and a different aspect of saying it, you know, and taking it back to that when you really had to have rhymes to really speak on a mic. It wasn't just about just rapping. Anybody can rap. It's about what you, it's about how you gifted yourself to rap, like your ability to put stuff in a real magnificent way. Like, you know, that's, you know, when you're in a microphone, you're the master of ceremony. You got to form that masterpiece and give it to the people, to give it to the culture. Like, what can you bring to the table? You know what I'm saying? Like Jay said back in what, 96, what can you bring to the table? We offer our lives. At the end of the day, this is what we do. You know, so this is what I do. Like, I take this real seriously now because I look at, like, people really believe in what I can do as a rap artist, and I'm just riding along with that. And by people believing in me, I believe in myself even more than what I'm doing. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now as far as doing this music the right way and trying to put a different message out, you know.
That's what's up, man. Talk to him, Riggs. Let him know, man. Speak that realness, man. That's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about. You know, and this is something that I was wondering. What is your motivation to be great? Like, what is that drive for you that's like, I'm going to do this music and I'm going to be great at what I do, and I'm going to invest as much time, because a lot of people that's not artists don't even understand how much, they think everybody just want to be basement studio rappers, and they don't even understand how much time it takes to perfect the craft. Sometimes it might take you a few days to write one song because of how much thought you want to put in it. Like, what's mm-hmm. your motivation to really achieve greatness?
I just, first of all, you know, I always want to break down three different things about what inspires me the most about this music thing. You know, first of all, I got to put God there, because God, if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing to be enabling myself to even rap and sort of talent I have as a rapper, you know, an MC, or artist, whatever category you put me in, you listen to my music. Whatever you want me to put, category you put me in, I accept that. You know, I was never the cat that's never afraid of criticism or you telling me I couldn't do it, because I'm going to do it anyway. That's just me. I'm a badass motherfucker. I'm going to try to do something, just tell me not to do. Just to me to bump my head, learn on my own what I shouldn't have did or what I should have did. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, God inspired me to write. You know, definitely, second of all, my family. You know, I do this for my family at the end of the day, because I look at them as a reflection of me. And I'm quite sure they look at me the same thing, as the same. And most definitely, in the day, it's for the money. You know, you need money to live in, you know, America or anywhere in the world. At the end of the day, you got to look at it like that. But you got to put God and your family first for that money, because that money can rule everything. You know, it's believable, it's possible, it's happening. You know, the money runs the world. You know, without currency, we wouldn't even be on this microphone right now. We wouldn't even be on the set right now. You wouldn't even have a radio station to talk on right now. I wouldn't be able to call you right now from the cell device. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you got to look at that as something you got to look at last. You know, people always say money over everything, but money is not over everything. You got to look at it differently than that. Because you're looking at it as money over everything, that's all you really glorify. At the end of the day, you don't think about your family. You don't think about who waking you up in the morning, who putting you to sleep at night. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, people got to really re-advise their minds of thinking and approaching certain things in life, because, you know, without God, I mean, how would you even be possible to even live today and to talk about what you want to do in life, to have dreams of what you want to do in the future, you know, and to even get something. You know what I'm saying? So that's what inspired me about mommy.
I feel like we just heard a sermon. All I can say is amen. Can we get a witness?
But no, man. God, Family, and Money is a group that, you know, me and two other cats that I grew up listening to. We didn't grow up together. We just known each other for a couple of years now, whatever. And it wasn't my idea. It was my friend Zion Ely, which is an artist in Detroit as well. Shout out to Zion, whatever. Him and my friend Architect, which is the other artist that's part of the GFM Society, they pretty much molded me into with them to have this movement going on with them or whatever. And we just been together clicking up for the last couple of years, not trying to make something possible. But we all doing our solo careers as artists individually, trying to put something together. And then, you know, we just decided when we all, you know, make our own solo vibe, you know, upcomings, you know, in this game, we just all come together and just do our own music all together. But it's a long history behind that since we've been knowing each other, so I don't want to even get into all that.
That's dope, though.
Yeah, but GFM is God, Family, Money. That's the society. That's the movement. And be looking out for that soon, you know what I'm saying? And we're just trying to do a thing right now. You know, they got a mixtape out with them too, but it's the mixtape. And three retorts right now on DatPiff.com. They just put out September 11th. The same day of my battle I had the past Friday.
We're going to get into that too. We're going to definitely get into all of that. What we want to do, man, we want to go ahead and get into this first track and let the listeners get a feel for what it is you do. You know, you got a couple tracks for us. You actually got three tracks for us tonight. And we want to get into this first track.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is from the Flying Colors 2 mixtape, Detroit versus Everybody. That's on datpiff.com right now. I dropped it last Christmas, and it's pretty much I didn't really promote it as much as I wanted to do it, because I just felt like it was just something to put out to have people listening and just, you know, feed into what I'm trying to do in the near future. So this first track is called The Illness. It's a mixtape track, track 3 off the Flying Colors 2 mixtape that's out right now. And I basically just jacked my man's Real Reality from New York beat. His song was called The Realness, featuring Prodigy. So I just ended up jacking the beat and just ripped to it. And it's called The Illness. So it went from The Realness to The Illness. So, like I said, shout out to Real Reality. You know what I'm saying? So I took the beat. I just ripped over it. No disrespect, but I just felt like I had to rip to it. So check in this track, man. It's called The Illness, man. Flying Colors 2. Let's get into it, man.
Yo, want some real shit? It's amazing how I'm blessed to pray to God before I raise up. And not the fire to that good hip that I just blazed up. I'm in my prime, boy, wear a form like a fake, bruh. Shooting at my target, too, I discount a nigga, take him down like a pay cut. Without a hook, a nigga stay clutch. Yeah. So what you saying, huh? My brother never had a chance to make it out to live his dream. My whole team, lavish cuisines and limousines.
Okay.
Forgot the way of dealing with money through triple beams. We dug a business coming at niggas with different schemes.
Ooh.
Stay malicious, ready for war from any distance.
Ready.
Constantly delivering and bars, this is persistence. Some people love the way I be spitting, it's such a feeling. Move swings up like a rich, it's such a million, like I really should. Living day to day, in reality ain't really good.
Really good.
Poor nigga making decisions. I'm off the break from these premonitions. I see me before they happen like a television. I'm proud to mention,
yeah.
I'm next to come up out the mitten.
Me,
I got a yard, these niggas and drop the ball. I've recovered from a 4-year coma.
Awoke.
Was told to wake up and get this money. What's that smell to a
drama?
Anyway, from making sales in the corner. I was on it like fuck it. I'd be a corner. Trying to stack a trip to Tijuana.
I'm gone.
Picture options, talking business with my little brother. Trying to make it all mutual for one another.
Okay.
It's like we gotta be each other. The crisis soon be illustrious moments of getting this money. What's the people notice? Cause they don't hate. We'll see break from this rap shit. New bigger place, new place, bigger cash shit. And that's it. Bitch, you let the truck classic. Beat his power niggas ass in.
You want some real shit?
Cause you ain't heard shit right, bitch. I got him stuck off the real shit. Baby girl never felt like this. I got him stuck off that real shit. Flying colors to you know it's the real. I got him stuck off that ill shit. Cause you ain't never heard a nigga like me. I got him stuck off the illness.
That
yeah.
was The Illness.
Yeah, yeah.
By the homie Riggs.
You
AKA
know it, you
Riggs
know it,
the Crisis. What was that studio session like? Because one of the things that I noticed, and when I hear a lot of interviews, we try to talk about things that everybody else don't talk about in their interviews. And
right.
I don't really hear interviewers and hosts like really dissecting the music enough. I feel like they just the controversy and that's it. I like to know stuff like, you know, I'm a person that spends time in the studio. I'm in the studio right now. What was that studio session like that day when you recorded that track?
Well, in particular, you know, shout out to my producer, Walt Dollar. I was at his crib, you know, we recorded at his crib or whatever, the studio. And, you know, I was telling him I had these tracks or whatever I was just writing to or whatever. And I'm like, I had this one particular track I wanted to. That track right there was the first song I recorded for the mixtape. And when he actually heard the track before I recorded, he was like, man, this track is hot. He's like, what is it for? I'm like, this is a mixtape I'm just trying to put together, man. You know, I'm just trying to put something out for the streets, you know. He like, man, record that right now, man. Just, you know, just you ready to let me know. I'm like, all right. So, you know, I had to get right, you know, take my medicine, you know, so give me the medicine. And you know, I just went in the booth and, you know, I recorded it. It took me like 2 takes, but I got it in.
Damn, you did all that in 2 takes?
Yeah, two texts, man. Two texts. I really try to get up, you know, get in, get out. I don't try to be in that struggle on track. That's what an MC should never try to do. An MC should never just. An MC should always be prepared to get on the mic and spit what you're going to spit and get it over with. You know, do your doubles, do your ad libs, do your whatever you want to add in, do your fill ins, whatever you want to do. But make sure you have your verse and foremost ready. Have your hook ready first. That's what a lot of artists don't pay attention to. You always write your hook first for the song. Because if the hook don't make the song is trash. And that's another thing. Like 50 Cent is a good artist. 50 Cent can make a song because of the hooks. His hooks makes the songs. That's why all his songs bang. That's why all his songs is tight. Like Jay-Z, Nas, all these rap Busta Rhymes, they all got tight hooks. Man, if you don't got no hook, your song is whack. If you just spit and just spit, man. Like cannabis, you know. He could just spit infinite bars forever, man. He don't really have no hooks. He could listen to Cannabis, just listen to him. You know he a battle rapper. Listen to Cannabis, man, you'd be like, all right, I ain't expecting no hook from no Cannabis or no Eminem, nothing like that. Even though Eminem can write an actual song and a hook, but he more to a battle rapper. He don't give you bars forever, you know what I'm saying? So when I deal with that particular track, I just wrote a big verse and just, you know, I ain't thinking about chopping up nothing like that. I actually freestyled a hook for the actual song, when reality he recorded. It's the hook kind of like that. I just retwisted his hook and just, you know, freestyled some shit and just made that up. And but yeah, man, it was a good experience. Yeah, man. But, you know, shout out to Walt Dollar, man. We doing this, man. Like, he really believes in me as an artist. You know, I've been messing with him for like 17, 18 years now, you know, just grinding, man. He's doing his thing as a producer as well in Detroit. So we all trying to make it. We all trying to mold together and just make one big transition with this music, man, in Detroit.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that. One thing I know is definitely a lot of talent out there in the D. You know, I'm a person that, you know, tune into battle rap real heavy. You know, that's why we do a show that represents hip-hop and battle rap. And in between hip-hop, like the underground, and battle rap, I didn't discover, like, a lot of nice Detroit dudes. You know what I mean? Like, Michigan got a lot of spitters. Y'all got a lot of spitters out there. You know what I mean?
All over the place, man. The Murder Midden. It's the Midden, man. Like, whatever you want to call it, Murder Midden, the Dirty Glove, you know, whatever you want to call it, man. You know, it's a lot of spitters all over Michigan, and that's something I learned, you know, these last couple of years, you know, watching these battles and watching these battle leagues in Michigan, you know, all over the country and whatnot. And I'm seeing a lot of Michigan dudes all over the country just really doing their thing, and especially mainly here in Detroit, where the movement got so big from here to Benton Harbor, and we just been doing our thing, man, and just trying to spread our MC all around and show them that, you know, Michigan, Detroit, up to Benton Harbor, Kalamazoo, Lansing, wherever, man, we got it. You know what I'm saying? Saginaw, Flint, we got it, man. And like, we're just trying to make that move.
That's what's up. That's what it is. Now, who are your top five rappers, dead or alive?
Oh, man. That's... Why you gotta ask a question like that, man?
You know, you come on the hip hop show, you gotta expect that question at some
know,
point.
Because you know, in times and years, my top five has changed and transitioned so many times over the years, man. So, okay, I'm gonna go off and say this off top. Okay, I'm heavily inspired by Coogi Rap.
Definitely.
Number one for show to me is Coogi Rap. I mean, I was always listening to Coogi Rap when I was younger, you know, him and DJ Polo. And it was like, I really grew up listening to him, like, you know, him, watching him on a jukebox, on the box, his videos come on, the Ill Street Blues and all that stuff. And like, I like his flow. I always followed his flow. And when I found out he was from New York, I'm like, okay, this dude is real nice, and I really hung on to him. So, Coogi Rap is number one, first and foremost. Then I got to go with my man's Pac. course, Tupac, man. I mean, Tupac.
Okay, yeah, you definitely get points for that. That's my favorite right there.
Tupac should be everybody's favorite. Should be everybody's top five, man. I mean, if Tupac not your top five, I don't know what to say about you as a listener of hip hop, a fan of music, a fan of rap, and a fan of culture, man. Come on, you got to put Tupac in there for sure, man. Tupac gave you two different sides. He gave you a conscious side, he gave you the streets. However you want it, Pac gave it to you. Pac was more than just an artist. He was a poet. He was a storyteller. He was a narrator. He was whatever you wanted musically and artistic-wise. Pac had it, man. I mean, I'm sorry, man. Like, a lot of MCs can do it, but not like Pac, man. Pac had versatility. He had style, you know what I'm saying? He had the grammar, and he was real smart, too. He spent that knowledge, and like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, rest in peace to Tupac, man. If he was still alive, the rap game would not be this way. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely not. I agree with you on that, for sure.
All right, man. Number three, I got to go with Nas.
Damn, you just named all of my favorite rappers.
I say Nas because, I mean, really Nas was number one, but due to Coogee Rap being longer, it had a more longevity than Nas. You know, I gotta go with Nas number three because, okay, Nas, oh man, Nas is like one of the best MCs I ever heard in my life, man. Like, I don't think no rapper is smart as Nas. I don't think wiser than Nas. You know, when it came, you know, just spitting, like, storytelling as far as, like, Slick Rick and all that, Nas is like the modern-day Slick Rick to me. He brought that storytelling into the 90s crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, on that I Am album, the Undying Love, the last song I Am album, the Undying Love
what?
Track. Then he had New York State of Mind Part 2. Don't, you know, hate me now. Then he had this one, That Small World. Like that album in particular in the 90s pretty much made Nas solidify in everybody's top five. I'm sorry. If you ever heard Nas, I Am the Biography album, you go listen to that album and study on hip hop because that album changed a lot of the way music was sounding in the 90s as far as like really street storytelling, laid back rap. You know what I'm saying? And Nas gave you that. All through the 90s, all through the millennium. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Who don't like Nas, man? Plus, he battled Jay-Z on the mic. Who did that?
And won.
You know?
In my opinion. I know it's debatable, but I felt like he won.
I mean, to the streets-wise, you know, the majority would say Nas won that. And it took me a while to really succumb that in because it was like, I'm a real Jay-Z diehard Jay-Z fan. So that's what brings him to number four. I gotta go with Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? Jay-Z number four because, you know, his legacy, man. I mean, come on, man. He dropped albums every year for like, what, 7-8 years straight? I mean, come on now. Like, this is ridiculous, man. Who was doing that and had number one hits every summer for like 7-8 years. I mean, come on, like, seven straight summers, he dropped the album on somebody and was crushing and was clapping them every time. Like, come on, who didn't like Jay-Z? In this heyday, you know, you got Reasonable Doubt. Then you got Volume 2. I didn't like Volume 1 like that, but Volume 2, 3, then, you know, on up, you know, Jay-Z pretty much solidified himself as the king of New York to me. You know what I'm saying? Because when Biggie died, Jay-Z took that torch around with it and never looked back. You know what I'm saying? like real talk. Like, and I can say it's a lot of debate in King of New York because you had people like Big L and Big Pun that was relevant in that time and arguably should be in somebody's top five as well. You know what I'm saying? Because them two MCs really put a mark in New York history too as well. And it's sad that these artists is gone from the game because they could have made an impact in the game today as well, right, along with Tupac and Biggie, you know what I'm saying, and the Eazy-E's in the world or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, number five was pretty much a toss-up for me. I got to go with Big Daddy Kane, man.
Okay, yeah, that's a legend, man.
Big Daddy Kane, man. I mean, come on, man. Like, come on, man. Big Daddy Kane. I mean, he brought a expression to the game. I think no other rapper did in the late 80s, early 90s, as far as wordplay and metaphors. I think Big Daddy Kane, to me, was the first MC that was really spitting metaphors. Besides Rakim on the mic, he was really spitting metaphors. Like, really, people had to rewind what he was saying. Like, hold on, what did you say rewind that? You know, like, you know, his wordplay was just inseparable from any other rapper. I heard, like, wow, like, come on, man. Like, who's spitting like this in the early 90s? Like, people today can't spit like that back in the early 90s. He was totally ahead of his time, you know. But that's my top five, man. I mean, like, them the people that really inspire me the most to really do the music I'm doing today. And a lot of people say they hear that, they hear a little of that in my raps, you know what I'm saying? I'm heavily influenced by them as well. So that's my top five, I tell you, man. You know what I'm saying? I know I took a lot of time explaining my top five, but that's my top five.
No, I mean, you're an artist, man, and, you know, like, you know, that passion runs deep. Like, that hip-hop flow through your blood, man. That's just, a person that's not an artist just wouldn't understand what it's like. Like, this is, like, your passion, your blood, sweat, and tears, your life. Like, you know, I'm a musician myself, man. Trust me when I tell you, I understand, I relate. And if I was on somebody's show, it probably would have took me just as long, just because I share that same passion. That's the reason why I do the show, because it's real. You know what I mean? Just because a person ain't selling millions of records and on TV and stuff doesn't mean that they don't still put in the same blood, sweat, and tears as the artist that got on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they had to be where you are right now before they got to where they are. So everybody got that same story. It's just that where are you right now? It's just a difference. You know what I mean?
Word.
Everybody got their turn. Everybody has their own route. You know what I mean? Everybody has their own legacy and own plan laid out for them. You know what I mean? But I definitely feel you, and that's a legit top five that you cannot argue, you cannot deny. At all.
Yeah, man. Like, I changed my top five so many times over the years because, you know, once upon a time I had Red Man in my top five. You know, I had Scarface in my top five. I mean, Red Man, what?
This is your like Red Man?
What? Oh, God, you're kidding me.
I like Method Man more than Red Man, to be honest.
I mean, to me, Method Man, I can give you that. I mean, I'm a Wu-Tang fan for life, but at the end of the day, Redman, to me, he was the more expressive, you know, just witty with it. Like, Redman was, like, the more just live. Like I said, he more live than Method Man. Method Man is a serious MC that, you know, he's Method Man, to me, is, like, incredible. He's an incredible MC, period. He's, to me, besides Ghostface, is the best out of Wu-Tang. You know,
that
I was
definitely
happy to look.
Now we all know Raekwon have had some classic albums.
Oh yeah, no,
like
no
I think
debate.
Raekwon's
no
albums
no
are
debate.
Actually better than Method Man's. But when it comes to just,
I do.
But when it comes to actually, like, let's say a feature putting a hot verse down, nobody in Wu puts down a hot verse like Method Man. To me,
true that.
So Method Man would be like the better feature artist. Raekwon would be the better album artist. Ghostface, man, I used to hate Ghostface back in the day, but then I started really listening
and developing an ear for
hip hop and really, really taking
Ghostface,
time to listen.
Man.
Ghostface is ill. He's definitely one of the best in Wu by far, you know.
Hell yeah, man. My Wu-Tang, I can't argue about the Redman and Method Man thing, because I know, like, me personally, I like both of them. Both of them collectively, it's like the dynamic duo of battle rap or hip hop, period. Whoever want to battle them would be in trouble. Whoever want to rap against them on the track would be in trouble. So, them together is like double trouble, man. Like, you don't want to see them really on a mic like that. That's why I'm like, but to me, Redman, I got to go to Redman person, because Redman albums was just so put together, so well put together. Like, he had. The skits, to me, made Redman albums incredible.
No, you know what? Redman makes better albums than Method Man. I don't say he doesn't rap better, but he makes better albums. I will agree with that. But together, they are, like, indestructible together.
Now, Meth He just dropped his last album was kind of hot. The Meth Lab, he just dropped, what, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks
what?
Ago?
What? Oh, man, I got to get on.
Yeah, that album is hot. That album right there. Now, to me, Meth albums in this order were like the best. Like the first Takao, then you had Takao 2000. I didn't like Takao, the prequel, that much because it was like, I don't know, but the 420, the day after, was a nice album. You know, I didn't hit an album after that when he put out. And then this one, the Meth Lab is cold, man. I like this album because I guess it's just some new fresh meth, you know, older meth, you know, more mature meth, you know what I'm saying? He just still bringing the same wordplay he's been doing for the last 20 years on the mic, just bringing it, man. Me hearing meth to this day, let me know that I can still do what I'm doing and go even harder because he just still bringing the pressure, like crushing dudes, man. Like, he's still doing it. Like, it's crazy,
that's that
man.
Dude, man. But you know what? What are your thoughts on the present state of mainstream hip hop? When it comes to like the mainstream artists that's getting radio play and on BET and MTV right now, like, what are your thoughts on the mainstream right now and the present state of it?
I think the present state of hip hop right now in the mainstream is pretty much all marketable. You know, even though hip hop is all marketable, the artists is being more marketable than the actual part they putting out music. You know, like, you listen to people like Migos, like they ain't got a record deal, but they getting radio play. They got mixtapes. Rich Homie Quan, he the same way. Even though he with that Young Money, whatever they doing over there. But all these artists is out mainstream wise. They still in the streets, underground wise. So you really don't have too many mainstream real artists out here, because a lot of them still underground to be considered. A lot of them still mixtape rappers. Like just look at Drake. Drake is an artist, but he's still getting mixtape songs played on the radio. Rich Homie Quan, the same way. Future, the same way. All these cats still getting their songs mixtape-wise getting played mainstream on the radio. So, to be honest, you don't really have too many mainstream artists. A lot of mainstream artists are really songwriters, like Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, who just really went industry-wise, really went mainstream. For this last album, to be exact, because Born the Center, to me, was still a mixtape. But J. Cole's last album was made to be an industry album. Kendrick Lamar's last album was made to be an industry album. Wiz Khalifa's album was made to be an industry album. Like, all these artists that's coming out now are really trying to make industry albums to make it universal, to make their music not sound just one-dimensional. You got to have your music sound all over the place now. You got to have your sound all over the place now. So if you hear a Lupe Fiasco album compared to a Future album or a Meek Mill album or a Drake album, you're going to go for the one that sounds more reasonable and more relevant. So people are going to more and more likely pick Meek Mill or Lupe Fiasco or Drake over Meek Mill or a Future over Lupe Fiasco because of the fact of how relevant the music is these days and the sound they want to hear these days. And with the producers, and these producers too as well, you know, and it's not more about what people are listening to is more like what's popping. And people are following what's popping right now. So if you come out with some boom bap music like the 80s, if Future was to do a track, like a real Run DMC track right now, people would probably love that song because Future did it. But not knowing Run DMC did this shit back in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? They probably didn't know Run DMC did the song. I'm just saying for example. You know what I'm saying? Like, when any artists do an old school song from the 80s or late, early 90s and redo it, like, if somebody redo Nas Ain't Hard to Tell. Now, imagine Meek Mill redoing Nas Ain't Hard to Tell. That shit probably be hard as a motherfucker. But people probably want to know where that came from, though. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Because people are so in tune in what's going on now and what people want to hear now and the music and the producers and these artists that's just in your face like, yeah, cop this, drop this, and they see videos, they see them doing this, they see them doing that, these dances, these different phrases now and all this other stuff. social media and took that over, man, for real, and brought hip-hop into it, the social media. So it's hip-hop got way bigger because social media, you know what I'm saying? And these artists, to me, it's influenced by that as well because you got people really watching and tuning in to you now. It ain't just the streets no more. You got people on the internet really looking for you, really looking for your music, really looking for what you got new so they can follow that. They can trend from that. They can learn from that. They feel like, you know, it's just so much going on, man. It's ridiculous. Man, I don't feel like really breaking down all that. We'd be all night discussing.
Right. I mean, it's layers to it, man. It's real.
And like me said, like it's really levels to this shit. It's levels to this. It really is, man. It really is.
Right. Exactly. So you said you got mixtapes out yourself, right?
Oh yeah. I got some mixtapes online. You know, a couple of them is I got Flying Colors one. I did that and recorded that in Detroit back in 2010 at my home. I had my own studio at the time, and I was, you know, working there, and I put out a mixtape, and it was just like a whole bunch of just tracks that just put together and just spazzed on them and just put it online. And I got some good feedback from the tracks I put on there or whatever, you know. And it's online, too, right now on dappiff.com. Risk Crisis Flying Colors, Volume 1. Right along Volume 2, that's on dappiff.com right now as well. You know what I'm saying? Both volumes on there right now. I'm working on a Volume 3 as we speak. And right along with a few other projects as well I'm putting out in the later year on to 16. So. Yeah, man, I've been cooking up. I've just been taking my time with everything because it is too much going on in the city right now. As far as the music and the music industry here in the city, it's just so one-dimensional. Like, I don't know. It's the sound here in Detroit is more like Chicago. You got more drill music than it is reality music. You got, you know, the drill music in Chicago is like Chief Keef and, you know, whatever else going on in Chicago. Like, they, the same kind of, like, style is moving here in Detroit where you got all these street dudes talking about, you know, bang, bang, whatever, which I don't discriminate because that's their music, but I just don't glorify that. I don't glorify believing you should go out here and shoot my bang, bang, and pop a nigga, chop a nigga, woo, woo, woo. You know, that's just something that happens to hit the airways, and a lot of these kids are getting motivated and influenced by the type of music, and they feel like it's just the shit to listen to. Now, I'm not dissing nobody, nothing like that, but the game has really changed from hearing Jadakiss on the mic to listening to a goddamn Shy Glizzy or some shit like that. You know, it's like a lot of rappers out here that don't really know the essence of what it's really came from. And it's came from MCing. A lot of these rappers is not MCs. Let's get that corrected. A lot of these rappers is not MCs.
That's one of the realest things you could have ever said. That's so, you know what? I'm going to do a post when we end the show. I'm going to quote what you said in a post on Facebook. That's how real that was.
Yeah, man. Like, at the end of the day, like, You got to listen, man. A lot of these rappers just rappers. They don't know the MC of rapping. They just rapping. They just do it because they feel like, you know, my man said I can do it, so I believe, you know, I'm doing it because my man's doing it. I feel like I can do it, too. Anybody can rap. I mean, come on, my little brother probably can rap. My little sister probably can rap. My little niece probably can rap. Whoever, my grandma probably can rap. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can rap. You can rap. Lizzie, she can rap. Anybody can rap. You know what I'm saying? The whole world can rap. It's all about can you MC at the end of the day? What can you really bring to the table as an MC, though? You know, you gotta MC while you rap, though. I mean, come on now. You just can't be a rapper and not MC. It's like you can't be an MC and don't know how to rap. I mean, come on. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, these artists, they really need to sit back and just really study what they're doing. Instead of doing it, trying to reach a crab and reach a dream, know what you're doing when you're doing it and how you're doing it and how to go about it when you're doing it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I've been doing it for so long, because I know a lot of people doing it just to get their name and just to get that fame, just to get that glorified they want from people. You know what I'm saying? I don't look for that. I just look for people to listen to me and hopefully my music can influence another person to write something poetic and put it on wax and put it out to the people so they can hear it. You just spread the message. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm doing. I'm just spreading messages. This is something I can do easily. You know, I can do rap. I can rap and freestyle all day on a track. That's nothing to do. You know what I'm saying? But when you write, you really write for a purpose. You're not just writing just to write. You write for a purpose. I write for a purpose. You know what I'm saying? This is what I do. I really MC. You know what I'm
My
saying?
My man.
So,
now, are you signed or do you have, like, any, like, label situations? You got your own label or what's that situation like?
No, I'm an independent artist, man. I'm not signing nobody. I'm not doing no deals for nobody. I manage myself. I have no manager. I'm me, man. I'm out here in the streets of Detroit just doing what I can do on my own, just out here dangling, man. I'm not trying to really coincide business with nobody that I feel is going to be janky towards me and what I got going on and try to stop. What I'm trying to do as an independent artist and what I'm trying to do as an independent artist, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, these managers can tell you one thing and try to lead you on to something, then it'd be something totally different. Then they look at you like you stupid, like you was the fool for believing in what I was telling you to do. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you learn a lot in this business of being an artist and independent and knowing the roles and the direction you need to go to and the leads you need to go get into know where you got to go, you know, at the end of the day. But no, I'm not signing no label. I don't mess with no entourage, nothing like that. It's just me at the end of the day and my people I mess with. The little circle I do got tune in with the music, and that's just it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got a lot of artists in Detroit that's trying to get signed by these local labels and all this stuff, and you got all these side labels and all this. It's a lot of labels and entertainment labels in Detroit as it is, independent. But I'm not really into the Detroit scene like that because, like I say, my music don't really run in with Detroit music like that. My sound way different from the actual Detroit sound. So I just feel like I'm just outside the box right now, to be exact with you, you know, at the end of the day. But, no, it's just me at the end of the day, man. It's what I need to do.
And, no doubt, you know, no doubt. And so you wouldn't necessarily want to, like, if you had that opportunity, you had that meeting, and it's like, all right, we want to sign you, but you pretty much got to sign your life away to us. We own everything, but we going to put you on and give you the best productions, have you on songs with people you would have dreamed of working with, but we are going to rape you in the process because, you know, that's what the industry does. But
yeah,
this is your chance of fame. Like, would you sign that dotted line?
No, I can't do it, man. I look at it like this. That could have been done. You know, I look at it like as much as these people are really getting on with these deals or whatever, these 360 deals that's going on right now, these record labels, I feel like a lot of artists could have been did that. A lot of artists could have really pushed that 360 deal because the 360 deal gives you opportunities to, like you say, sign your life away. You can work with the dream artists you want to work with, producers, whatever. For this amount that you're not going to see anyway, but at the end of the day, they're going to put you out there to have that exposure that you always wanted as an artist or a rapper or MC, wherever you want to call yourself. You put yourself out there like that. You know what I'm saying? So, me honestly, I learned from watching other artists in the game wash theyself up and then draw theyself out to try to redeem theyself, you know. And, like, I see a lot of artists that's loyal in the game, loyal to these labels that know they just getting fucked and can't do too much but still sit there and continue to get fucked. They ain't got nowhere else to go. You know, the label probably ain't going to want their ass. That's why they ain't putting the music out. And, like, yeah, this is real, though, because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, what artist going to want you? What label going to want you from the label you already at, and you ain't dropped the number one album or hit or single in 2 or 3 years now? Who going to want you? You know what I'm saying? So you got to look at it. You don't want to be a used dummy in the game. Like, everybody's using you as a puppet. You know what I'm saying? You signed to one label, then you drop that label, you go on to the other label. Come on, man. Like, make your mind up. You got a career set and plan before you did all this already. So it's important if you do sign to a label to know what you're signing, and then you got to make sure this is legit. And just knowing what you're getting into at the end of the day, man. I'm not discouraging nobody to not sign, not to sign to any label, but you got to know what label you're signing to and the possibilities you're getting fucked and not getting your royalties from any music you're making at the end of the day, because to them, you are a product. You are a product to a label that's going to sponsor you. They're going to brand you, but they're going to rape you. Like you said, they're going to take your earnings from what you're branding for them. You know, so at the end of the day, man, you got to choose your side. Like I said at the beginning, you got to choose your side, man. You know, you got two different sides you could choose from. You know what I'm saying? Like, me being independent for all these years now, I learned, you know, it's nothing to chase no more. Like, I do this just for my family to hear me, just for the people that do know me to hear me, just for a mass of people to catch on to what I'm trying to do here with the music, not just to grow up on myself as an artist. I mean, come on. I mean, I look at myself as a people's MC. You know, you listen to me, you hear me, like, okay, this nigga Riggs, for he for the people, he for everybody. You can listen to him in your household. You can listen to him anywhere you go. Whatever song you put on, it's going to be something positive in there. I got to talk shit all day, but I drop one jewel in there and be like, damn, I change the whole game with that one jewel every time in the song. Like, he said some real shit right there, though. You know what I'm saying? I can say a whole bunch of blah, 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 blah bullshit on the mic, but I drop one jewel, that made the whole song complete. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, you can't just... People out here lost, man. You got a lot of lost rappers out here, a lot of lost artists out here just wandering around trying to find their way. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to, you know, pretty much hop on everybody wagon or somebody wagon a ride on so they get where they need to go. You know, so I stay in my own lane because I know my lane. I know my limit. So I ain't trying to push to no further limit I need to go. If I do that, then I know I'm doing too much. You know what I'm saying? Try to get where I need to go. This has been a slow motion process for me for the last past 15, 16 years now, so I ain't been rushing it. And there's still no reason to rush it, you know. If it come, it come. But I got to know what's coming towards me before I do anything different from what I'm doing now. You feel me?
Yeah, definitely. No doubt. Now, before we get to your next song, I want to ask you about your thoughts on Meek versus Drake. I feel like since that's the latest thing that was, us being hip-hop heads, and that's the latest, like, real intriguing thing that happened in hip-hop, where it was, like, some controversy involving actual rapping and, you know, like, screw loving hip-hop. This is what the real hip-hops want to hear. Like, we want to hear who's the best. We want to hear y'all spar. Like, you know what I mean? We want to see, like, who feel as though that they got the right to claim themselves as, like, you know, that the man. I'm the man because I just ripped your head off. Like, I feel like that's an element that's missing in hip-hop. And we got a taste of that with Meek versus Drake, though it didn't go the way that most of us planned. But what are your thoughts on Meek versus Drake and how that played out?
I just want to say, for the most part, I mean, it was kind of a one-sided battle. I mean, come on, it's obvious that Drake destroyed the whole battle, you know, prior to the whole little setup situation with Meek Mill dropping this album for the publicity. I think the only reason Meek Mill did what he did, so he said, us for publicity for his album, because some fact that, okay, he just got out of jail prior to the album dropping, okay? I look at it like, you know, him and Drake was cool. You know, Drake was on a few of Meek Mill mixtapes and whatnot, and I'm quite sure they had songs together prior to that, but at the end of the day, I mean, Meek Mill pretty much got. I mean, this is how I look at it. Meek Mill pretty much got to his feelings because his album was dropping. Drake just smashed the game with the sixth album, and it was like, okay, you drop six on the brother. I'm dropping, you know, my album out, and you on my album. So, you know, tweet my album. You know, I'm tweeting my album. You tweet it too. You know, I guess he wanted people to tweet his album, who are featuring his album, tweet his album on Twitter, or whatever. And this is what I heard in particular. He wanted every artist that was on his album to help tweet his album for promotional use or whatever. I guess Drake didn't do it. Drake didn't follow the trend that was going on with the album. So I guess Meek Mill got mad at that and started, you know, ramping on Twitter about Drake to write his own songs or whatever, you know, all this other crap. So that's when Drake just, you know, came back and just with these songs and killed them, you know what I'm saying? The back-to-back to me pretty much did it. The back-to-back just pretty much demolished him. I think Meek Mill's career is pretty much, it's not crushed, but his replies and his songs did not add up to the charged up and the pretty much was the wake-up song to back-to-back, you know. So, you know, he didn't really much, he didn't even ego up to Charge Up. Charge Up was a real light song, the three-peat and then the back-to-back. So I'm like, man, I don't know, man, you know. Meek Mill, man, I mean, I like Meek Mill as an artist, don't get me wrong, but he's still a rapper. He's not really an MC to me. I think he's still a rapper. He got to transition to knowing what he's getting into with certain artists, because Drake is more than just a singer, man. You know, he said you're getting bodied by an R&B singer. I mean, come on, man, that's bad. That's bad. When a nigga tells you you're getting bodied by a singer, nigga, I mean, dude, I mean, come on, man. Like, I felt bad for Meek Mill, for him even listening to that. I felt bad hearing it, because I felt bad for Meek Mill. Like, god damn, man, you can't battle an R&B nigga, man. I mean, come on, dude. And this guy really killing you. He killing you. I'm not saying Drake is a complete R&B dude. Drake can rap. Drake, to me, is a lot better lyricist than a lot of these rappers that's out here right now. And I just feel like Meek Mill didn't step it up, man. Like, I thought he would step it up as a street rapper, as a street nigga. I thought he would step up a little harder and go, you know, turn up. But he didn't do that to me. So, I don't know. His career is looking real blight right now. I can't say he all the way out, but he blight. He blight. But
yeah, that's
Drake,
crazy, man. He just
on the other end, Drake on the other end, he on the up and up. He's still keeping his career going. He really pretty much threw down to another level to even get on Meek Mill level to even, you know, do what he did, you know. Somebody like Drake, you wouldn't really expect him to really lash like that on somebody, but he did. And I was like, but damn, you know. Because Drake said it, he would never make a diss song, you know, successful. He said it, like, I would never make a diss song about anybody, you know, but he did it. You know, that show you how much the gang transitioned him as an artist to scoop down and feed into social media. And that's why I said social media that took over hip-hop. Social media then made hip hop bigger than what it's supposed to be as a culture. They make it to now you gotta go to social media to know what's the beef and what's this and what's that. It'll go back to this now, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, shout out to Drake, man. He killed him, man. He bodied him, man. 3-0, man. Body bag.
yeah, most stuff. I agree, man. Like you said, man, I think Meek is his career ain't necessarily over, but I think a lot of people that believed in him don't know more, and I think it's going to reflect. I mean, anytime you had to, like, he had to take his song, his diss song, he took it off of SoundCloud because of all the negative feedback. Meanwhile, right. Back-to-back, last time I checked, had, like, what, 30 million views on SoundCloud and counting. He was selling.
Right.
He made probably a lot of money on iTunes. It was you know, for download on iTunes, where you know pay like $1 and you get it on iTunes. He was getting money off of that. He was performing it on his tour. You know, he was playing it on the radio, was getting spins. So he actually made a hit song from a diss record. You don't hardly see that happen in hip hop. Last time I seen that happen in hip hop might have been Ether. That's how crazy that is. So I mean, to make a hit record off a diss song and go viral and it'd be a top trending discussion. It's crazy, you know. But let's get back to your music, man. We got another song to play.
No doubt, man. This is Million Dollar Baby, man, off the Flying Colors Crew mixtape, Detroit vs. Everybody, man. Check it out, man. I had to put the track from Fresh Montana, man. South of the Coke Boys and all of them. But I put they beat. And I just ripped through it, man. You know, so it's called Million Dollar Baby, man. Check it out right now. Flying Colors.
Yeah. told the closest form of legendary. Black history February, then turned the all year round necessary. Do this for the people that dreaming for better days to look forward to. Instead of teaming up with them demons, while you running around plotting and scheming, look for raising to come, but find that time to get you shot for no reason. See my city's looking crazy as ever. Everybody say they broke, but have a job, you be a slave for that cheddar. Gotta get in when you spin it around here. Choose a side, east side, west side. Come across the crucified, act like you choose a suicide. Walk a tight rope across skyscrapers. We try to break a fall, but you can die. Hoping that I put on for show. And do this shit for the hoods I grew up in. And who's stuck in? Somebody die, then it's who, what, when. White sheets cover the streets. We thought it was the Ku Klux Klan. I give thanks to all acknowledgements. You look at me as a leader. I lift my fist on some black power shit. We trade Michigan, it's where you find me. I must have murderers to grind me. I fell in hip hop in the 90s. To the crates when it was crabs in that barrel. Took them shits off crib, cause I ain't one on fucking up my apparel. Call me Rickster, anything but Daryl. They got the eye on you, who? I'm talking about the Isle of Pharaoh. Ain't no place for these back rappers. Make way for the backpacker. Play Icewood, the stack master. $1 million baby.
I rock with that, man. That was dope. That was dope. And it's short, so it make you want to, like, have to keep going back to it because, you know, when you really getting into it, then it just go off like boom. It's like, oh man, I gotta bring that back. Like, damn, I rock with that, man. I rock with that.
Yeah, no doubt, man. That song was heavily influenced from literally the riots that happened. You know, the Mike Brown situation and all that happened or whatever. So I was kind of in that mind frame. I kind of wrote that verse or whatever, and I just went to that same day. I told my man Walt, like, man, I got this track, man. I want to delay, man. It ain't nothing but like a verse or whatever, like. A little over 16 bars. He's like, man, let me hear it. And I spit it to him. He's like, man, let's record it right now. I always let him hear the first part before I record it, so he'll know, like, in particular where I'm trying to go with it. He'd be like, man, you just going. The flow sounds so fluid. I'm like, yeah, I know. And he's like, man, just record it. And that took me one take. That was a one take verse right there. Just, you know, and go. And he's like, man, you laid that so cold, bro. So I ended up making that the first song on the mixtape. So that's the first song on the mixtape.
That's dope, man. You say you got two mixtapes on that, Volume 1 and Volume 2, right?
Yeah, the Flying Colors Volume 1 is on there right now, thatpiff.com, and Flying Colors 2, Detroit versus Everybody, that's on there as well. It's hashtag FC2. So you go on there, just type in hashtag or type in Riggs, R-I-G-G-Z. Everything will pop up right there for you in there, and you'll see it. Click, download, subscribe, whatever you'll do, just support, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All the support you can give a brother, I really appreciate it. And feedback as well.
I'm going to download it. Listen, you going to download this mixtape, Volume 1 and Volume 2?
Yeah, I'll download
it. It's free. Everything on that piff is free.
It's free, man.
Do you guys have an account? It's been a while since I've been on that piff to download something. I think I know you got to be able to, like, download unlimited stuff. I think you got to have the paid account, but you get to download a certain amount for free, right?
On your mobile device, you can go to the Play Store or whatever, Google Play Store or whatever, and you can download the DatPiff app.
DatPiff had an app.
Yeah, you can download the app and download everything for free on the app. So it's nothing hard to do.
That's what's up. I'm going to definitely do that for sure. Now, you're not just an MC. You're a battle rapper, too.
Yeah.
Or at least you're a rapper that does battle.
I'm original hip-hop head because, you know, all the original MCs battle rap before they even made tracks. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Your history. You know
Everybody got that same story. Nas, Jay-Z, we hear interviews. All them Busta, all the hip hop legends pretty much got that same story.
Yeah.
Man, I came up battling before I got on. You know, you don't really need to. Now, if you battle, that's like. If you battle and they know it and it's like it's on camera and all that, it's like they don't want it. For some reason, they don't want to, like, they want to stay away from you. But back in the day, battling is how a lot of people got on. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That big battle that Biggie had when the dude was the man Biggie dissected him. You know, that was just hip hop. You know, that's what hip hop is built on, competitiveness. Now, you just recently had a battle. And how was that? How was that experience for you? For your first actual, not to say it's the first time you battled, but the first battle where it was like cameras involved and all that. Like, how was that experience for you for your first time?
Well, I want to say first and foremost, shout out to Ben Harvest Bass League. You know, my man Rock Gambino, my man Compact. You know, Cash App, the whole movement up there. You know what I'm saying? Along with Who's Next, Battle League, that's out there in Holland, Michigan right now, my man D. Rule, Ill Mike. All these cats put together this event, you know, last week. It was in Benton Harbor, Michigan, like maybe an hour away from Chicago. You know, I drove 3 hours down there to the event last Friday or whatever, and it was a good turnout. A lot of people came out and showed love and respect me coming from Detroit down there to really put down my game towards the battle rapper. I was kind of battle, you know, shout out to Compact, you know, that's the guy I battled, you know, from Spaz Lee or whatever. His round was ridiculous. It was a one round battle, you know, it was on a card with 6 different other battles that night or whatever. And everybody did their thing, man. It's like when we was the 4th set to go on that night. And it was like, that whole night I was fucked up. I ain't gonna lie, I was fucked up. I was pretty much setting the mode to battle this cat. But when I actually got on stage and I actually won a coin toss. I run the coin toss or whatever, he went first. He spit his bars, he choked for maybe a second or two, and he got back on point, you know what I'm saying? He got back on point and whatever, he was going at me, you know. He was spitting, but he wasn't hitting me to really kill me. Even though to me, I feel he won that battle, because when I ended up doing my set, and I got to spit in my verse or whatever, it seemed like I didn't have a voice projection to really catch the crowd. It's like I was mainly talking to him, on some just face-to-face type shit, talking to him. Like, it was just me and him in the room, and I wasn't projecting to the crowd. So a lot of the crowd was saying that I was real low, they couldn't hear me, you know, and then, like, I was like, you know, from that point, I looked at the crowd and looked back at him, looking at the people on stage. My nerves started striking me, like, oh, man, what's going on? Something I'm not doing right. What's up? You know, I'm not getting the love. I don't feel love. I don't feel the love I'm getting right now. So I just start some type of way, and I just was trying to get my verse off, and I was getting it off, but it wasn't projecting to the crowd, so I couldn't really get a lot of feedback from the crowd where I was saying. But I actually was spitting some shit out of it. I had some bars form, man, like I had bars form. And after a while, I ended up choking because I couldn't really remember some lines I was saying or how I wanted to say to him. So that whole feeling was just really overwhelming. And then after a while, I just said, man, just go ahead and cut it, because, you know, I can't really get my whole verse off. And then, like, I don't know if the crowd really feeling me. I don't know if they biased to me or not, what I'm trying to say. And by being from Detroit, going to Benton Harbor, I felt the crowd was, like, pretty much on Benton Harbor side, because, you know, it was a Benton Harbor event. You know what I'm saying? Not saying they have no love for Detroit, but I just felt like I wasn't getting the love I deserve coming away from Detroit to try to put on the show. And if they don't really listen to what I had to say, it's pretty much a crowd where it was like, well, yeah, we heard what dude had to say. What you guys saying would be relevant now, because we heard what nigga Whooper you wanted to hear. You feel me? So I was trying to catch the crowd, but like I said, I guess I went out projected. I knew I went out projected to the crowd to really get the crowd reaction to what I was trying to say to him, talk that shit to him. Like, I really want to talk that shit to him. But at the end of the day, he won. Man, I give him that. He had a crowd on the side. His voice was projected. He was pretty much ready to rip my head off. And I admit, you know, I took that headshot, but I'm allowed to tell the story right now. Like, I'm Ace Boogie, you know. I literally tell that story. I literally that headshot to tell my story of what happened. You know what I'm saying? So now I got to go back to redeem myself on NASCAR. The NASCAR, I believe it's in November. So I'm looking towards November to, you know, go back up there and battle whoever else next and redeem myself, you know what I'm saying, once again, to show that I'm more than what you thought I was this time around, even though this time around should have been the last time around for our first impression, you know what I'm saying, as an artist coming from Detroit that tries to go up, you know, go down here by Chicago and try to show these cats I can do this, you know what I'm saying? But it's pretty much hard than we'll look on. It's pretty much hard doing it than how you see it on camera, than how you see it on your phone or computer when you see cats battling on, you know, online or whatever, it's really hard because the pressure there in your face. And you gotta be really ready. You gotta be really ready.
Ain't no right. And, hold on, let me bring that back. Let me, like, if you're in a studio, you can say, all right, run me back. I'm gonna start that over. Even
okay.
if you're performing live, you might have your vocals playing in the background, little in and outs or ad libs that help you out if you forget or something like that. But when you're in a battle, it's like you gotta deliver it with conviction, or people gonna start talking. They might even start booing. They're gonna be paying attention.
Right. So your voice really gotta be projected, and you gotta have that energy and aggression to have a crowd, so you can really bring the crowd over to them. Tune in what you're trying to say. Like, it's like spoken word. Like,
battle rap definitely reminds me. That's what it's like, a mixture of rap and spoken word. That's pretty much what it is. Minus the music.
You're right about that, bro. It's like, it's nothing but spoken word. So you really gotta be, you really gotta perform. You really gotta show your actions. You really gotta, you know, like, perform your scheme the way you want to perform your scheme. You got to design it a certain way. Your setup's got to be nice. Your punches got to be on point. Like, your delivery got to be tight. Like, you really got to have this style to battle rap these days. You ain't like on beat no more. Like, back in the day, you could just throw on a beat and just rip a nigga on beat style. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like mic and everything. It's projected for you to really run the crowd over. So the more crowd action you get, the more respect you get as a better rapper. And I felt like he got the more respect as a better rapper that night because he was so projected and ready for me. And my first battle on cam, it was a real just upset for me. So I felt like I know I got to go back and redeem myself for this.
I'm glad you're going back, man. You can't go out like Cannabis did, man. You can't go out. You can't pull out the notepad and just self-destruct. You ain't pull out the notepad or you ain't pull out your phone, did you?
Oh, no. I went out of that.
Get me nervous for a second.
I know. What was crazy is taking some real shit. Like, I had my verse so ready that before I even got on the stage, I was saying it in my head, like, okay, this is how I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that. And then once the shit got on me, it was me, huh? And when I got to say what I was saying, it was like, okay, I'm looking at the people like, okay, so what else you got to say? I was like, yeah, so what? Yeah, what else you got to say? Okay, you said that, and what, you know? that's how I was feeling, bro. So at the end of the day, you know, like I said, man, shout out to Spaz Lee, Benton Harbor, man. I'll be back up there to redeem myself soon. So,
I definitely look forward to, like, hearing the feedback from when you battle again. As soon as you finish battling, I want you to come straight to me and tell me, like I told you last time, come back and let me know how it went the first time.
You,
I want you to do
know,
the same
know,
thing. And I'm just,
you,
I have
you,
high
you,
expectations. I just want you to know that. I'm expecting you to catch a body. The pressure's being put on you right here, right now. I'm expecting you to catch a body or at least have a classic.
Yes, and he was telling me, he was like, man, make sure you inbox me, let me know how the battle went right after the battle. Man, after the battle was done, I went home, man. No, I didn't go home that night. I was still in Benton Harbor, went to the hotel that night, man. And I smoked me a blunt, and I was just sitting there like, man, I just really fucked up for my city, man. I feel like I let my city down a lot from me doing this, coming this way, and then not putting a show on like I expected to do. At the end of the day, you pretty much learn from your mishappenings, and you try to go back and redeem that and go extra hard and put on a better show, you know. So that's what I'm focused on right now, as far as, you know, that mentality as a better rapper, to go back and redeem myself and go 10 times harder than they were expected. You know what I'm saying? Vice versa to me being on the mic and just spitting and writing and going to studio recording a track or whatever, it's way different. To perform a song after you record it, to go on and better rap somebody, you know, and verbally speaking like that, you know what I'm saying? So it's two different worlds for sure. You know what I'm saying? But I got bars, man. I can spit some bars, man. Last year, this year, you know what I'm saying? Like, combine it all together. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, I guess it is, man. I guess it's on the mic. My whole state of mind is traveling so fast, but like, it's like I've been through the motions with the music, man. It's so crazy. Like, you be trying to stay, you try to remain the same nigga since day one. You don't never want changes for your people, your family, and nothing like that, because they feel if you do that, they look at you outside the box of somebody else. And I'm not looking for somebody else to be like, well, he changed up, but since we ain't fucking with him no more, it's more like I'm me instead of saying me since 98, 97, 96. You know, I'm the same guy. And, like, I can't really speak like that towards a lot of people that I've been on for years that have been the same way, keeping that same loyalty to what they believe in when it comes to their people and their music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been that same dude for a long time. I'm still going to be that same dude.
That's what's up. Just being real, being you. You know what I mean? Being able to look yourself in the mirror at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Right.
Selling a million records or 20 million or having the most groupies or nothing tops that. Just being comfortable in your own skin and being who you are. You know what I mean? Staying true to who you are. Like, that tops everything, in my opinion. But apparently everybody don't feel the same way, and that's the reason why some people choose to sell out.
Right.
That's
true.
I respect
that's
people
true.
That stay true to who they are, for sure.
You got to stay true to your crowd, man. I mean, even if you do sell out, you selling out for your purpose only. You're not selling out for the people's purpose. You're selling out for your purpose only. So people got to look at that, too. Remember, you sign a dollar line to whatever you want to sign to, whatever, how much you want to sign to. Remember, you're doing that for yourself first and foremost, because nobody put you in that position to do that. You did that on your own. So whatever problems you get out of every situation you deal with from that time on, this member started from you. Not from people that's coming at you in a negative way. Not from everybody's hating on you. That's coming from you from when you started it. And that's what people look at, like, all these problems I'm getting. Nah, I get all this money. I'm doing all these problems. You got to look at it. This is what you expect. This is something you got to expect. This is something you got to expect when you sign a dollar line, what you're going to get yourself into from this point on. Whatever you're doing. You could be an actor, actress, whatever, rapper, singer, whatever you want to do, articulate wise, you gonna know it, this stuff is bound to happen. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta go about it the right way, though. You know what I'm saying? You gotta take your money and do the right things with your money, not do all the shit they want you to do with your money to make you look like a fool with your money. You know what I'm saying? And that is real talk, man.
Exactly, no doubt about that, man. Now, your social media and your contacts, let the people know, all the listeners know, where they can reach you, how they can reach you.
Well, yeah, you can reach me on Facebook, you know, I'm under Rigsda Crisis, you know, RigsdaCrysiz. You know, contact me on Facebook. You can hit me on Twitter, @Riggs_the_crisis, same spelling, you know, just underscores on the room. I'm not really under nothing else. I don't deal with the Instagram, all this. I don't deal with the Snapchat, all that other crap. And of course, SoundCloud, you can reach me on there at soundcloud.com/Daryl-Riggins. And Reverb Nation as well at www.reverbnation/Riggs the Crisis. And I got some music on there as well. So you can hit me on them sites, in the social media world. Leave your comments, share, subscribe. Let me know what you think about my music. I'm not afraid of criticism at all. You know, especially real thoughts to me. You know what I'm saying? Feel free to, you know, contact me. Hit me up on my Gmail, DarylRiggins313@gmail.com. You know, leave me a message, anything, man. Hit me up. Let me know what's going on with you. I'll let you know what's going on with me, you know, vice versa wise, you know, that's real shit, you know. Chip and Chip, battle rap, shout out to y'all, man. You and Lizzie been holding down with me for the last past hour and a half now. Eastern time, we've been in here getting it in. This interview,
yeah,
been
man,
crazy.
You know how we do, man. But you come on here, it's like it's your time, you know what I mean? We here chopping it up with you, but when you with guys,
home,
it's like you the man, you know what I mean? It's
I
like you
like,
come on.
I feel like I'm really there with y'all right now. I'm there with y'all right now. I feel like I'm at home with y'all, man. Just chilling, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the cut, man. Just save me a little spot on the couch somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm
yeah,
good.
That's how we wanted to be, man. Whenever you can say that, that means we know that we did what we were supposed to do. You know what I mean? You feel like you just, you know, I feel like you're having a regular conversation and no pressure, just having fun. That's what it's all about, man. We here to support the up-and-comers, people that we know got talent and got something to share with the world. We here to help make sure that happens. You know what I mean? That's what we do, man.
No doubt.
CBR, we want to thank you for coming on. And before we go, go ahead and introduce that last song.
Oh, yeah, man. It's the list of, actually, it's the last track off the mixtape. It's called Draft Pick. I had just took the Drake beat off the draft that he did on some mixtape shit and just, you know, jacked it. You know, I'm jacking beats, man. Call me the Mondre Ice Cube. I'm jacking for beats all through this motherfucker, man. So, you know, like I said, shout out to Drizzy Drake, man. The whole, you know, situation going down with the hip-hop movement. This really is quite some sign off, man. Championship battle rap. This is Draft Pick. I'm Flying Colors too. Traverse everybody, man. Tune in, man. I'm out.
Yeah, Flying Colors till we back in this bitch. Detroit versus everybody. Yeah, Draft Pick, Jay Clowney. I keep some hard headers, know they stay around me. Draft Pick, Jabari Parker. Pressure to the pros, then they made me starter. Forgetting all these hoes, it just made me smarter. I waste a lot of time, now I'm taking charges. Now the thought of me telling me I'm baby father. And when that test showed me otherwise, it made me thoughtless. Looking at this liquor, it just made me nauseous. So I look at gorgeous Coke bottle face flawless. She said keep it real on how you play calling. Don't care nobody stop with all that fake balling. I said baby, this the game, you gotta play it like it is. I was told you gotta fake it till you make it, baby. The last time I checked into the industry, I seen niggas swagging waist skirts and skinny jeans. Now tell me what the fuck that shit really mean. I'm Michael Jackson tapping squares like it's Billie Jean. I got the home court advantage, how you beating me? That's like Floyd fighting Manny in the Philippines.
That's me.
Writing flows blowing on the sticky green. Share with the world, switch the game once I hit the scene.
You.
A taste of fresh air can keep the city clean.
Right.
The loose one, take your breath away like nicotine. You know I'm from the city of the smoking guns. Holding funds, offers from the street like I'm Coleman Young. I'm making up the years that I owed you from.
Owed you.
I gotta get a love, I never showed you none.
I show you.
My mom said you gotta start saving, baby. I say this all from you, from your older son. Never turn my back unless I had to. Never turn my cheek from any bad news. We living in society with cash rules. Everything around now, blowing on this loud. High as fuck, call it SoundCloud. Hear me now, hear me now. Everybody talking slick, but homie, this the slick talk. Mac Daddy, crisscross, fucking with a bitch talk. The city's looking for me, so I'm still at it.
Still here.
Detroit sipping, have my bars like I'm Kilpatrick. Tell me what they want from a nigga, man.
They want
smarter. This is nothing like the bigger plan. You selling for your mans, no advance. Broke as hell, bitching off the back, shaving off the grams. Don't ask me how I know, cause I've been there.
I've been there.
You ask me as I give a fuck, I didn't care.
I didn't care.
Remember OP, I used to get it there.
Yeah.
Running through the jets, me and Papa used to switch up gear. The vibes was turning tens into 20s.
They was, man.
The 20s turning 50s into 100s.
Real shit.
They took me for a joke and found nothing funny. They see I'm like Forrest Gump, the whim up and running. Boy, this shit is nothing. Raise the crisis, man. This shit can go all day, man, you know. I'm fucking around, man. Feeling good, though, you know. Trey versus everybody, man. MC2, man.
Thank everyone for listening to Championship Battle Rap on this Real Talk Radio. You can email us or hit us up on social media at realbattlerapradio@gmail.com. Catch our archive shows by going to blogtalkradio.com/TayReal.
Yo, this is Tay Real. You can catch our live shows by going to that link or dial 347-838-9540.
Once again, shout out to all the listeners, and we'll catch y'all next week. Same time, same place. y'all.